Blog Talk Radio. 17 on another Smile E3, which presents Iron Sharpening Iron. I am so glad that I'm able again to be a part of the ministry on tonight. This has been a trying day. I have been going through some pain in my left arm. I'm talking about sharp pain that I've never experienced before. You all keep me in your prayers. I'm your host of the night, Minister Sylvia Kaiser. We are coming to you at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Myself and Minister Brandon Kaiser will be your host operating our phone lines. So without further ado, we will go straight into prayer, and we will open up the lines and let you know who our speaker will be in just a moment so that you all can encourage the speaker at the end of the program, and you all can talk, encouraging words into their lives and give them feedback on their ministry. Okay, let's pray. Close your eyes and join with me. Please mute your phones. If you need to give the number out, the number for Block Talk is 310-861-2354. God, we're coming to you right now, God, first with the heart and mind and spirit of repentance. God, we're asking you to forgive us of every sin that we have done willingly, unwillingly, knowingly, and unknowingly. God, we ask you to forgive us for not even asking you to forgive us. We're asking you to just touch our hearts and our minds to allow us to know that only reason and only way that we're going to make it into your kingdom is to be born again. God, if we don't have the heart, we're asking you, like they said in the day of old, give us the heart, God, and give us the desire to want to be saved. God, I'm just asking you to just touch the people of America, God. Touch each and every last one of us, because like on today, the conversation I had was, if we would just be honest, just touch and just say, not play like we want to be saved, but just touch and say, at this time, that's not where I'm at, but I'm asking God to just give me the spirit to want to hate what he hates and love what he loves. Give me the heart, the spirit, and the desire to want to be saved. God, I'm asking you to bless the children of America, God. I'm asking you to bless the children of the world, oh God. I'm asking you to bless the children in Chicago, oh Lord, because we both know that we are the children of God. We are the children of Christ. We are brothers and sisters and heirs to the body of Christ, and we know that the only way to see this thing through is to go truthfully and honestly about this thing. And in God, with these things that I'm asking you on a daily basis, God, to touch our leader and founder of this program, Apostle-elect Cecilia Kaiser. Touch Apostle Sandra Thomas, which is the overseer of the churches of Philadelphia, in this program, God. I'm just asking you to just touch every man and woman of God that's assigned to this program. God, we're asking you to just bring in every man and woman of God that you have to be ordained, to be assigned to this program, and let them walk in this thing, not play with this thing, but let them walk in this thing and be faithful, God. I'm asking you for a spirit of truth, a spirit of honesty, and a spirit of integrity. God, I'm just asking you to put in our hearts so that you be God and God alone, where you allow us to decrease that you may increase. God, I thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Minister Brandon, are you on the line with me? Are you able to talk?
I'm in and out.
Okay, well, do you have knowledge of who the speaker on tonight is?
No, I didn't hear back from Apostle Sandra yet.
Okay, I didn't either. So I'm going to introduce to most. And I'm going to bring forth to all, and I'm going to let you know who the speaker of tonight is. The speaker of tonight is someone that's very, very close to me. The speaker of tonight is someone that we were growing up I took it upon myself because I do feel that even at that age, as a young child, I was told, I was instructed, and I was appointed by God to protect her, to see about her, to keep everything that meant her no good away from her. She was, we were young, we would tell people we were twins because we was born so close together. We were best of friends then as well as now. I remember one time she was in a bad car accident and I was out on a date hanging out, and I remember at the time I fell to my knees and I grabbed the top of my head and all I could say was her name. And the person I was with was like, "Are you okay?" I said, "No." I said, "Something's wrong. Something's wrong with my sister." I said, "Something's very wrong. And all I know is I need to get home." And even as children, we were in the world, we were, as they would say, was tied at the hip. That you didn't mess with my sister and you didn't pay the consequences of having to deal with me. Because when you mess with Apostle-elect Cecilia Kaiser, you had consequences you had to face, and it was called dealing with her sister, Renee. So with further ado, I would like to introduce to you all, in the world, I call her Cece, I call her Cecilia, I call her my baby sister. But in the body of Christ, I call her my leader, Apostle Cecilia Kaiser, who is my prayer partner, and who I depend on to be honest with me and share the word of God, what it says in the Bible, to speak life over my life, into my life, and around my life. So without further ado, I would like to introduce you all to Apostle-elect Cecilia Kaiser, which will be bringing forth the word on tonight. Apostle, are you ready?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. It is now into your hands. Go on and do what the Lord has led you to do on tonight. Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm going to first start off with a quick just melody, and then from there I'm going to say a quick prayer for those that are on the line, and then we're going to just talk about a subject. So, therefore, I'm going to go ahead and sing this quick melody. I need thee. O Lord, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Just be with me one more time. I need thee, O Lord, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, be with me, Lord, now. Every hour. Because I need thee right now. I need thee. Oh, Lord, I need thee. Every single hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. Hallelujah, I come to thee. Every hour I come to why, thank you for being with me while I sing the praises unto my Lord, because I truly need him. I thank God, I thank God, I thank God, and I thank God again. I thank God for Apostle Sandra Thomas. I thank God for Minister Sylvie Kaiser, and I definitely thank God for the handsome man of my life, Minister Brandon Kaiser. And I could not go without thanking God for my sister, Minister Sheila Kaiser, and also her son, the handsome and the one and only Father of the Year, you know, Minister Taiwan. And I can't forget about Minister Pinky and Minister Tisha Wanda, who out there running for God, but that's a whole nother story. But Pinky ain't running like T running, but that's a whole nother ministry. And then the man of God, you know, Stanley the Cricket, right, man of God. And then also Renee's partner in crime and even in ministry and in truth, my brother-in-law Stan, and also I can't forget about Carlton. There are so many of my nieces and nephews, great nieces and nephews, that I really need to give honor to, but I give honor to the people who God blessed me to be a child of, and that's my mom and my dad, who I miss immensely. And so today, this is not the subject that we're going to talk about, but I just wanted to share something with you. I was, you know, praying and I was talking to God. I said, God, you know what? I just got to keep it real with you, Daddy God. I said, I am so tired of people just lying to lie. I said, you know, God, what is this all about? If people can't tell the truth, why don't they just shut up? You know, this is me talking to God. I'm just keeping it real. So I said, you know what, God? I'm going to tell my son what I need him to invent. I said, I know he's been talking about an energy source. I said, but I need my son to invent a portable lie detector. Y'all don't hear me. I'm telling you. I told God I need my son to create a portable lie detector so I can keep that thing in my hip so that even if I want to tell a lie, I go beep, 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 beep. I don't want it to say lie because somebody might not speak English and they may not understand what it's saying. I don't want it to say liar. I don't want it to say any word. I want it to speak a language that is known all over the universe, which is a sound. Beep, 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 beep. So that not only would I tell the truth and be honest, if someone says, do I look fat in this, and they look fat and I don't want to say they look fat, I ain't going to lie, just so be quiet. Okay, if someone says, ooh, does this hairstyle look good on me, this 27-piece, 28-piece, and a whole bunch of other pieces missing, I wouldn't tell a lie. I'd just be quiet. I said, God, because it appears that nowadays integrity, honesty, and being integral and doing things your way, God, walking in unity, doing things in the will of God, by the word of God, in the ways of God, appears to be something that is like you're cussing or doing something wrong. Well, I thought, okay, I said, well, since I'm feeling this thing way down, as they say, in my innermost, down in my belly, I'm sure when me and my sister, Minister Sylvia, was talking about who would be the speaker for tonight, and we, you know, talked about, okay, well, you know, Cecilia, you can fill in. I said, okay, well, for surely or surely, God is going to have me talk about that apparatus that I need my son to build and to invent called the portable lie detector that I'm going to be carrying around in my pocket. And don't be trying to get the padding on it right now because you heard me on the air. I want it spoken that it was spoken on the blog talk tonight that my son's going to invent that. Don't you invent it because you don't know what I want it to look like. So I'm going to make sure Minister Brandon Kaiser knows I want a portable lie detector apparatus that I can carry around because, oh, my God. Anyway, like I said, that wasn't the message. But I was surprised because he took me a whole nother way. And let's talk about this thing, this situation, this place that all of us need to be in God that's called punctuality and timeliness. Now, don't hang up now. Don't all of a sudden you get busy or you got to go to the bathroom or you got to get something to eat or somebody calling you on the phone, so you got to switch over to the other line. No. This message is for you and me. How do I know? Because the Word of God tells us that we're the first partakers of the Word. So it's for me also. So you know those times when I don't feel like doing my homework and I'm trying to push it off to the last day? We're talking about me. Those times when I'm supposed to start working on something early, but I wait until the last, I'm talking about those times when I'm supposed to say, oh, I'm going to go to work and I'm going to be on time, or I say I'm going to go to and meet this person or that person and I'm going to be on time. Well, see, God knew just what I needed. Years ago, I joined the Army. You know what they taught me? How to be there before you need to be there. We used to call it being in the formation for the formation. So if the formation was at 8 o'clock, you best believe we were already standing out there getting prepared for the formation at 7:30. And you best believe that at 7:45 we were already structured squad by squad, platoon by platoon, company by company, so that we were in order, so that when the commander walked out and said attention, we were at attention. So therefore, we had the formation for the formation. And even when we had meetings, we had the meetings for the meetings. So when you may see that I'm on time or always wanting to be early, my son, I praise God for him. I know he's like, if I got to be at the airport at 3 o'clock, I don't care if I got TSP pre-check. I don't care if I got clear. I'm going to be there 2-3 hours early. I'm going to be sitting around in the airport waiting for the airplane. Even when the airplane was left an hour and 15 minutes late, that's a whole nother story. But I was on time because I was on time before it was time. But see, some of us who appreciate the value of punctuality, because we know we want our paycheck on time. How many of y'all want your paycheck on time? Ding, ding, I'm one of them. That's right. I know that some of us appreciate punctuality. And some of us that struggle the most with tardiness are those that want stuff on time. We may be late for that bill collector, but we don't want our check late when it's time for us. So say that bill collector keeps calling us about that bill we were supposed to have paid a few months ago. We get frustrated with them, but guess what? That bill collector may be getting paid a type of salary that's based on how many people he's able to get or she's able to get to pay that bill. Now, let's bring this to the Bible. The Bible tells us that God is an on-time God. Now, we're going to get into some situations that is going to get to that. You might say, well, how do you know that punctuality is important? I have a question for you. How important is punctuality to you? How important is punctuality to those around you? Okay, say you don't want to work with that. Well, how important do you think punctuality and timeliness is to God himself? You know, being punctual for appointments and for different things can be a frustrating thing. But if you really think about it, if you're punctual, it reduces the stress. Because if you're in traffic and you're going to be late, that's already stressful. If someone's trying to talk to you and you're running late, sometimes you're a little irritable. You might be, you know, a little pointed in your conversations. They say something to you and you snap off at them. And it's all because you're running late. To leaders, I'm not talking about leaders that's late. That's a whole nother message. But to leaders that are on time and want their people to be on time, punctuality indicates your competence. You probably didn't think about that. But we call it, where I'm at, organizational excellence. And part of organizational excellence is being on time. Not only does it indicate that you're competent in what you do, but it also indicates that you're dependable. You know, a lot of people may not work as hard as you and may not work as long as you, and may not have been on the job as long as you, but because you're dependable, a lot of times you're well respected. You're that person that they know will get the work done. You're that person that they know that'll meet those deadlines. You're that person that they look for when it's time to give out that reward or that higher salary, or they know that they can trust you. I'm not talking about those places where, you know, you may get to work at and there's some prejudice and other issues going on, but I'm talking about those real places that actually realize the importance of punctuality. 1 Corinthians 14 and 40, the Amplified Version says, "But all things must be done appropriately and in an orderly manner." If a person and you, or a group of people talking, you decide you're going to meet a certain place at a certain time, because you respect them and because you honor them and because you honor each other as children of God, as kings and queens of God, as daughters and sons of God, you're going to be on time. Why? Because you understand that that's a king you're dealing with. You understand that that's a queen you're dealing with. You understand that you yourself are a king or a queen. And when people come before you, they need to be on time. So you need to be on time. Ecclesiastes 3 and 1 and 2 talks about how there's a time and a season for everything, an appointed time under the heavens. It talks about how the farmers know when it's the right time to plant and how they know that it's a direct order to how the things are to be planted and how they're to be planted. Imagine this. My mom used to make it, and I do it also. Haven't done it in a long time, but when I did it, I praise God that it was done well. When I made homemade rolls from scratch, there was a process, a sequence that things were done in. There was a timing of how long the thing had to rise and certain things that had to be done. And when that timing was off and when those orders were off, you had some of those, I won't say what it's called, but Renee know what she called it, because we had someone that we love used to make biscuits, and if you didn't get them before they got, when they got cold, you had some rocks. But that's a whole other message some other time. So with those, in that circumstance, you had to get it while it was hot, because otherwise it was time to be throwing rocks. And like I said, that's a whole other message. But what I'm trying to say is that there's a time and an order for the things that we do. Philippians 2, verses 3 through 4, talks about, in the Amplified Version, "Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with an attitude of humility, being neither arrogant nor self-righteous. Regard others as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." That includes when you tell someone that to meet you somewhere. When you're looking out for them, you're going to be on time. When you're looking out for them and you honor them and you're not thinking about yourself, because it's selfish to think, "I want everybody to be there at 7 o'clock and they better be on time," and then you show up 2 hours later. That's a whole other message too, but it's connected to this message. And you'll see that I'm not going to get into that part of the message of what that actually shows. I'm going to talk about some other aspects of this message, which talks about us asking God to teach us how to treasure our God-given time. Philippians 1 and 10 says, "So that you may learn to recognize and treasure what is excellent, identifying the best and distinguishing moral differences, that you may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, actually living lives that lead others away from sin." How many of you know that you being late could cause someone to cuss and lose their salvation? Okay. You might say, nah, people ain't going to get. Some people get so frustrated and blame God for everything. Every time they show up, you late. Every time this or that happens, you're late. It's you that's late, but they're blaming God. They're like, what kind of leader is this? What kind of person is this? They're always late. See, there's things that people don't understand, that humankind is that person. But along the way, we become Christians, and then people afford what we do to God. What can we do to help with this timeliness? What can we do to help with this punctuality? What can we do so that we won't be like those virgins that was late, that was unprepared? And in case you don't know what I'm talking about Matthew 25:1-13, that talks about the parable about the 10 virgins, and they were going to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish, and 5 of them were wise. Why? Because 5 of them came with their lamps and full, and they were ready to go, and 5 of them just came with enough. And so, therefore, the ones that just came with just enough, they tried to get the wise women to give them some of the oil, but they didn't. They replied no. And so then they had to leave these foolish women to go and buy some oil. But while they were gone, the bridegroom arrived. And guess what? He took the 5 wise ones in, and the other 5 were left behind. Why? Because he shut the door. And so the last verse, 13, says, therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Think about this. How would you feel if you told everybody to meet you on Blog Talk at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time on Friday night, Monday night, or whatever night, and those that were there, God met them there too and raptured them and gave them all of the desires of their heart, whether he raptured them or gave them the desires of their heart, that this was the night to meet God, to get those things that you've asked God for, that he's going to give it to you because of your punctuality and because of your timeliness and because of your diligence. What would happen if he met us here, but someone else that was supposed to be here wasn't here at their appointed time and place? They would be like those foolish virgins. So let's talk about how God encourages us to plan in advance, how God encourages us to be diligent. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit and are surely as haste leads to poverty. Another version of it in Amplified says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance and advantage. But to those that are sluggards or lazies or doesn't plan, surely to poverty. I'm talking about what the Word says. I'm not talking about what Cecilia says. I'm talking about what the Word says. So what are some of the things that you can do? Let's talk about practicality right now. If you know you're supposed to be somewhat at 12, how about getting there at 11? How about getting there at 11:30? How about setting an alarm? How about teaching yourself to be on time by making it where there's only one way you can get to this appointment, and that one person that can get you there, you tell them they have permission to leave you. Now, you know if you're late, you're not going to get that check that's on the other line that's waiting for you. You got to put things on the other side of it that's going to cause you to want to be on time. And so as you practice this thing, according to the psychologist, if you do something 21 times, it becomes a habit. So say you just keep doing it and you keep doing it. And why do you keep going to these appointments and these different meetings an hour ahead of time, 30 minutes ahead of time? Because you never know when there's going to be traffic. You never know when the weather's going to change. So you take a book with you. While you're there, you read the Bible. While you're there, you take time to pray and to talk with God. And know your own limits. Know your own limitations. Be realistic. Flee stress. So that means that when you need to go somewhere and Brother Bugaku or Sister Kugalama calls you, you don't answer the phone because you know they may have called you at 10, but they don't know how to get off the phone. They're going to talk to you until 2 or 3. So, therefore, when you know when Sister Booga Wooga or whatever their name is going to call you, you don't answer. Or you let them leave you a message, or you answer the phone saying, I'll call you back at such and such time. Why? Because Proverbs teaches us that it's Proverbs 11:1-2. A false balance and dishonest business practices are extremely offensive to the Lord, but an accurate scale is his delight. When pride comes boiling up with an arrogant attitude of self-importance, then comes dishonor and shame. But with the humble, the teachable, who have been chiseled by the trial, who have learned to walk humbly, there is wisdom and soundness of mind. So know your limitations. Know in order to meet a certain appointment or a certain deadline how and what you have to do realistically. Don't put 10 things in 1 hour to do if you know you can only get a half a thing done, because you'll only frustrate yourself. You'll only become stressed out. You'll only become irritable. But use your God-given time wisely. Ephesians 5:15-16 says, therefore, see that you walk carefully, living life with honor, purpose, and courage, shunning those who tolerate and enable evil. Not as the unwise, but as wise, sensible, intelligent, discerning people. Verse 16, making the very most of your time, your God-given time on earth, in earth, recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity and using it with wisdom and diligence, because the days are filled with evil. See, there's something that's always out there trying to distract you from the timing of God. Another version of it says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Dr. Rich talked a topic about the character of punctuality. Here's a few questions that he says we should ask ourselves. What is the character of punctuality, and is it working in me? What is the fruit of punctuality? Is it even a part of my character? What do I have to do to exhibit punctuality in my daily life? Another question. What can I do to develop a willingness? I believe Minister Sylvia prayed about this earlier, to want to be on time and to show people that I value their time. Another question. What blocks me from being punctual and from having a desire to be punctual? What can I do to make punctuality something that functions in me bigger and faster and is certain? Well, according to Matthew 25:1-13, that's talking about the virgins we talked about earlier, it's called planning, being prepared. See, punctuality is not about talking about your inadequacies or making yourself of this high reverence and better for this person or that person, but it's that you treasure the time that God has given you. You know that when you make it a treasure and you treat it with the value and the honor that time is, that it will pay off in the future. Some of us know that when we work and we give our time, we get that overtime check, we get whatever, but when we're late, when we're tardy, when we're procrastinating, those are sometimes those jobs that let you go faster than they let the other person go, or you can't get as many hours as the next person gets. So we have to find out within ourselves, what's impeding me? What's robbing me from this gift that's called punctuality? Are you careful to look for the things in your life that causes you to be late? What are those relationships, those family members, those coworkers, those people you talk to that are constantly causing you to be late? What relationship are you in with a procrastinator or someone that lacks being on time that you're starting to change the opposite way? You're starting to be like them, where you're starting to be in the rush all the time. You're starting to be late all the time. What can God teach you, or how can God teach you to flourish and to lean towards those relationships that teach you how to be on time and want to be on time? like I said, who is that person that likes to call you every time you have something to do? There are some people that's only going to call you on Monday night when it's time for iron sharpening iron. I'm just keeping it real. There are some people that's only going to talk to you on, say, Saturday night when they know you got to get up early and do Let's Talk. There are some people that's just going to, you know, purposefully do things to make you late so that you won't be able to be on time for God Still Heals. There are some people that just are being used as agents of the enemy to make you overcommit, overschedule, and miss out on being on time. So I'm going to speed through this right here because we're running out of time. So I have a few more things I want to talk about. Think about these instances. If a doctor or ambulance is late or a police is late, people could die or suffer irreversible damage. Another instance, if a construction worker, and hear me, I'm talking about a dam, or a dam, not the word dam, but a dam, that thing that holds back the water, or a bridge worker, are late on, in one step of the process, a town could flood. Property and lives can be lost. How about this? If a preacher or a cleric or a Christian or a believer is late coming to someone's bedside, and that person didn't get led into sinner's prayer like our Father did, and he was able to repent and be restored back to God in the 11th hour. But if you're late, what about if that person never got to do that? Maybe it never even crossed their mind. So let's think about this. Proverbs 12 and 27 says, "The lazy man does not catch or roast his prey," not the prey that my sister was talking about with P-A-R-Y, "but the precious possessions of the wise man is diligence, because he recognizes opportunities and seizes them." Proverbs 20 and 4 says, "The lazy man does not plow when the winter is planting season arrives. He begs at the next season because he has not reaped anything." Proverbs 24:30-34 says, "If you pass the field of a slugger by the vineyards of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was overgrown with thorns, and ground was covered with nettles. Then I saw, I considered, I looked and received instruction, a little sheep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. The poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man." Ecclesiastes 7 and 1. Some people are known as people that are always late, tardy, or disrespectful of other people's time. Why? Because they forgot this, Ecclesiastes 7 and 1. A good name is better than precious ointment. Now, why did I say that? Because we're to be imitators of Christ. And as we're imitators of Christ, according to the Word of God, it says, "We are to therefore be imitators of God, a copy of him. Follow his example as well-beloved children. Imitate the Father. Walk continually in love. Practice empathy, compassion, unselfishness, seeking the best for others, just as Christ also gave himself for us as a sacrificial offering." Think of this. What about if Jesus was late? Late at his birth? If he would have been late to his ministry, late at the cross, if he had been late for his resurrection, if he had been late sitting at the right hand of the Father, if Jesus had been late, if the Father had been late, if the Holy Spirit had been late, my God, where would we be today? So if you haven't heard anything else that I said today, let's truly be imitators of God. God is an on-time God. Okay, since he's on time, that's our example. So what is your prayer on today? Are you going to be on time? Father God, I thank you for this message. I thank you for everyone that's on the line. I thank you that they're blessed in the city and blessed in the field, that they're the head and not the tail, that they're above and not beneath. God, I thank you that everything that they do is in order to be an imitator of Christ. God, I thank you that everything their hands touch is blessed. I thank you, God, that where their feet trod is theirs. God, I thank you for expanding their territory. I thank you for giving them the desires of their heart so that the desires of their heart can line up with your will and your destiny and your purpose in their life. God, I thank you that you've called them to be kings and queens and sons and daughters of the Most High God. God, I thank you that you've caused them to enter into your gates with thanksgiving and to your courts with praise. God, I thank
thank you that you've talked to him, that the word of God is the everlasting, is Alpha and Omega. It's the beginning and the end. I thank you, God, that you've taught them that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against us thou shalt condemn. God, I thank you that you've taught them that your word is like a hammer that breaks the rocks into pieces. God, I thank you that you've already taught them that you're watching over your word and that you're diligent over your word. So we need to speak your word, pray your word, stand on your word, know your word, and have confidence in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
That's all I have. I'll turn it over to you.
Amen, amen, amen. I thank you for the word on tonight, Apostle Elect. That was truly a right now word that was on time, because I know within myself I'm praying that God helps me, deliver me, and bring me out of the spirit of laziness with time. Certain things I keep up front. Well, I got to be there. I got to do this. And other things I'd be like, when I get there. So I'm asking God to give me that spirit that I put time, being on time, could be considerate of other people's time, to be consistent and considering that in my life. I'm just asking those that's on the line that would like to speak into your life, to give you encouraging words, to give you come feedback on the word on tonight. If they can't do anything but say, ouch, ooh, it's me. So the lines are open. I already heard it say unmuted. And I'm just letting you know you can speak now into the woman of God's life. Amen.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I'm just saying I'm with Sprinkled on that work. I'm just trying to say I thank you for that message. Thank you. And thank the woman of God for praying to put us all on time, but we will be late and we don't care. But we don't want no one to be late on us. I'm just saying thank you, thank you, thank you. That is the message that we all need to understand. If God is right on time, why shouldn't we? Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Sheila, so much. Anyone else, would you like to have words to say something to the woman of God? Okay, well, I'm going to say this. Apostle Elect, you were so right. If our checks isn't on time, we would definitely act a fool. We're going to just keep it real. We would act a fool about our checks being late. Like, what's the problem? They know today is my payday, and they know our checks are available after this time and that time. And then if and when we get our check better not be short of time. So we know we can act up about time when it's concerning us. But when it's concerning what doing what God says and others, we always want to compromise. We want to change it a little bit, say they understand. So I just want to thank you for tonight. And I know some people are not willing or able to say that message was for me, but I would definitely say it. That message was for me, because I do have a problem with being on time. I am a witness with you getting to the airport. I'm a witness with you making your flights at 2:33 o'clock in the morning, and I will politely turn my head in another direction or say, "Yeah, who gonna pick her up? Who gonna drop her off?" Because I have a problem with being on time. So thank you for teaching me all night of how to seek and want to be delivered of that lazy spirit. I'm gonna call it what it is. Of not wanting to get up. So is there anyone else at this time would like to speak into the woman of God's life? Okay. Well, on tonight, we're going to say thank you all for calling in. On tonight, I'm going to tell you about the ministry line. Like I say, it's every Monday that we have this open line ministry. I posted on my Facebook posting that's under Sylvia Kaiser of what we're doing with Blog Talk, Smile 3E, Iron Sharpening Iron. We talk about the other nights that Blog Talk and the other days that it's available. So thank you all for this Monday night. Next Monday, we will be back with another speaker. We will be here at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time as well as 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't forget to call in on every Friday night from 9 p.m. Central Standard Time and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear from our very own Elder Kathy Kendall that speaks on God Still Heals. And every Sunday morning at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can hear Apostle Elect Cecilia Kaiser again with her son, Minister Brandon Kaiser, talk about Let's Talk. So I'm going to ask Apostle Elect Cecilia Kaiser to pray us out, and I will remind you all about our foundational scripture that we read, and we ask each one to let it guide your life throughout the week. Apostle Elect, would you please pray us out on this night?
Amen. Yes, ma'am. I will be honored. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. God, teach us to live a life that really honors and respects and reveres your will being done in our lives. God, in every area, let your will be done. In every conversation, let your will be done. Everywhere we go, God, let your will be done. God, we surrender to your will being done. Our prayer on tonight, God, is that our will be your will. Our ways, God, will be your ways. God, the words that we speak will be your word. We will say the word of God says, and we will live it. We will stand by it. We will know that we know that we know that we have not because we ask not. For when we ask according to your word, God, we know that it shall be done. So we thank you for every listener, that they're whole, that they're blessed, and God, that they love you with everything that they are and will ever be. Have your way, God. Be blessed and be high and lifted up in every area of our lives. We will enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. We will remember that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And God, we will call you our refuge and our fortress. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Excuse me. Amen. Don't forget our foundational scripture is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So until next time, we would like to say thank you for tuning in. We love you with the love of the Lord, and there's nothing you can do about it. So have a good night. God bless. Amen. Good night. Bye-bye.